somewhere. Ah, there we go. Now, as you know, we have been walking through the book of Colossians, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is 22, the 22nd message that we were at. And in the latter portion of this book, we have been dealing with this premise, whenever it decides to come back up, that in order to win the battle against sin and live victoriously, Paul is telling us that we have to live with our identity in Christ helping us define that. You are not going to do that on your own. And I hope by now you're getting that point through your thick skulls. And when I say your thick skulls, guess whose is thicker?
Yours.
Yes, exactly. You got it. Mickey's been around me, definitely. And so that's the premise that Paul is speaking to the Colossians with, your identity in Christ. And here's how it matters. Now, he comes to the 18th verse of this third chapter, and let's look at the text. Hopefully, you have your scriptures, you've got them open, and you can read with me. But hear the word of our Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And then he continues with other issues of work and those, and we'll get to those in a couple of weeks. Isn't it amazing that Paul was inspired to write these, what I would call in American culture, very unpopular words? Think about it for a moment. These are not easy words to come to. It's a very simple verse. Today we're going to look at 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Not exactly your street evangelism verse, is it? It's not a popular one. But as we look at this verse, what I would submit to you is that Paul has some very specific reasons because it has to do with the issue of our identity in Christ. Remember, we talked about that as a premise statement that Paul has been dealing with. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. These are identity in Christ issues, and I want to help you understand them because there are a lot of wrong views of submission in this world. Okay? They are out there left and right. Some of you women right now are just sitting there and your fingernails are digging into your palms. I cannot believe Pastor just said that. What century is he in? I mean, I guarantee you there's a few that are in that. There's men out there, and I hope you're not doing this, but I know there's guys out there because I've dealt with enough of you. And they're going, yeah, preach it. Tell that woman to submit to me and obey. You know that, you know, the wife beater type t-shirt mentality? That's not what we're talking about in the scriptures. Because the problem for many of us is we are more influenced by our culture and the world around us than by the Word of God. And are we not to be people of the Word, right? And so when we come to a passage like this, we need to go, okay, wow, this is a biggie, Paul. I need some help here. And the Word gives us plenty of help. That's the beauty of it. Scripture interprets Scripture, and I'm going to help you walk through that so you get an understanding of what does it mean. Because when we look at the world around us, let me just give you a reminder. Wrong views of submission. First and foremost, Islam, Sharia law. How many women want to be under Sharia law? No, I don't see any takers. Husband is allowed to beat his wife for almost any reason. Quran 434, 3844, if you don't believe me. You can read that. You find in the Islam, a woman's testimony is only half as valid as a man's. Quran 282. So what's the value there? The whole word Islam, do you know what it means? Submit. But it's not a submission as the scripture teaches the idea of submission. It's the worldly view that comes through. And so we see, and we see the effects of it. How many of you want to move to a country where Sharia law is the standard? It's not a pleasant place. Just look at the rights of the citizens as compared to a Western culture. And I'm not saying America is a perfect example. We're far from it, aren't we? But that's some of the wrong ideas. Some see submission as this complete passivity of the wife. She's a doormat. You know, yes, dear, how can I bless you today, dear? You know, almost like a little Stepford wife. Remember that bad movie series years ago? That they were just obedient robots and did whatever. No, I don't think that fits either. Because, and you go, why not? Take Proverbs 31. Speaking of a woman, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. That is not this, oh, shut up, woman, and be submissive in the corner. No, this is a man who is going, there, let's do this. These are business man and woman together accomplishing things. At least that's how I spin Proverbs 31, as you look at that whole passage. This is a hard-working woman. And the husband is going, go, babe, get on with it. Do it. Make it happen. And so it's not this passive doormat. It's not the idea of, well, you know, women are doing the domestic work and men go out and earn the bacon. That may be the way it works, but that's not mandated by scriptures here. One of the ways that people have tried to solve this problem is the idea of egalitarianism. And to a degree, there's some truth in that, because men and women before God are equal, and I will show you that. But the problem with egalitarianism is they usually go all the way and they say there are no distinctive roles for men and women. Men and women are identical and they're completely interchangeable. Wrong answer. And I'll show you why I believe biblically that case. Because the problem with their position of saying, oh, women and men, they're completely interchangeable. They can go to the pulpit. They can be older elders and other things. And I don't fully understand why God has limited some of those things, but he has. And he's given us some clues as it relates to the fall, doesn't he? Another time, another place, we'll deal with those issues. But these egalitarians, if they say complete equality of men and women and the swapping of roles, they have to take a passage like this and culturally explain it away. When Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. They go, oh, wait, you got to understand what Paul was doing there. The poor guy, he was struggling against a cultural bent. And if he had pushed the idea of complete egalitarianism, complete equality and the swapping of the roles, then he would have lost the gospel message. And Paul thought the gospel was more important. And so he just bowed down to the culture of his day. Now, what's the slippery slope that we just walked down, brothers and sisters? We took the word of God and we made it subservient to the world and the culture around us. And I don't want to go there. This is the word of God, and every word is inspired. And so we have to understand it. And so the egalitarian method is a very dangerous method of dealing with that. Now, to add insult to injury, the whole idea of submission within the Church of Jesus Christ has been abused. Okay? Unfortunately, I've watched it in my ministry. I have had to deal with men who improperly see this and they take it as, shut up, woman, and obey. And that is not what is taught within Scripture. And you see abuse. You see distance in relationships where a husband and wife are nothing more than benevolent roommates, if that. And it causes great destruction. And so, how do we understand a verse like this? Why? Submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Well, let's start with the biblical text. And let's begin to look at the word and start with that first and foremost. The word, and I know you don't really care about this, but it's hupotasso in Greek. And the reason I tell you that term is it is a commonly used term in New Testament, in ancient Greece. And we find lots of uses of the word. And you go, whoobie-doo. Here's the whoobie-doo. If a word is used heavily in much literature, biblical, unbiblical, political, etc., can you get a handle on the meaning? Absolutely, and we can on this word. Hupotasso is a Greek military term that is most often used to say arranging yourself in a military fashion under the command of a leader.
Think about that.
Gary, you understand that idea as being wing commander. Somebody's got to lead and somebody has to say move. Because if everybody goes, I don't know whether we should do this. Ain't nothing going to happen. Think military, it's not going to happen. You ever tried to move furniture where nobody leads? Yeah. It's a disaster. Who's going to say lift? There has to be a leader and then everybody else must follow. It's this hupotasso is along that idea. It's carrying a joint responsibility where there are leaders and there are followers. It has nothing to do with worth or value. It's simply, if you want to do things, somebody's got to take the lead and the others need to follow. And that is the most commonly used concept behind this word, submit. The job's got to get done and we have to work together to get it done. And so there are different roles in order to accomplish that. Now, let's take a look at the New Testament and see if we can get a handle on this word and its usage in the New Testament. Best one, Jesus. He submitted to his earthly parents. Now, we're saying that Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the very one who brought all things into existence by the mere power of his word, is subservient to Joseph and Mary? Well, that's what the scripture says. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. It's a variation of the word, but it's the identical root word. Jesus submitted to his earthly parents. Now think about that one for a moment. The very creator submits himself to these earthly beings. So submission is not an issue of equality, is it? It has to do with placing himself under to get the job done. You find in scripture it says Romans, help. We can all get this if you're honest with yourself. Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed it can't. You ever find that somebody puts a sign out, do not walk on the grass, and what do you want to do?
Walk on the grass.
I'm going to walk on it, because that's our, we don't submit naturally. That is just human nature. We're rebels at heart. And so we get that. And so that's what this idea of hupotasso, it doesn't submit. We don't submit to God's law naturally. It's only when the Holy Spirit changes us. We find that citizens are commanded to be submissive in Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been given or instituted by God. And so we find that we are to submit to the government. We are to place ourselves under. Now, are all governments honorable and God glorifying? They're put there by God. And we are to submit to them as far as we possibly can. We find that in Scripture, church members are to submit to their leaders. Hebrews 13:7, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they must keep a watch over your souls. Because they're going to have to give an account. So it's this whole idea of placing yourself under. The church to Jesus Christ. As a church submits to Christ, so also a wife will submit in everything to their husband. We seek to obey our Lord and Savior, or else we're not part of the church.
No.
It's part of that obedience factor. It's placing it under ourselves, under Christ. And lastly, we see numerous places in Scripture where wives are commanded to submit to their husbands. 5:22, Ephesians, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. 5:24, we just saw, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Our passage today, Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Titus 2:5, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be reviled. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they might be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. Wow. Wives, you ever thought about the power that you have? A wife's submissiveness has great power to win over hearts even. Now, as we look at some of these biblical examples, we see that varies greatly from the worldly examples that I gave you. And I hope you're catching the difference between those. Now, some are still going, my fingers are in my palms. I don't like this. Well, nobody likes the idea of submission. You are not weird or different. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. Ever since the fall, that has been the nature of it. And in fact, we see that God gave that as part of the curse. The, quote, the struggle of the roles, if you will. And you can go read Genesis 3 more about that. And that's the human condition. However, here's what's important. Whenever God grants authority or a role, it is always for the blessing and the protection of those under that authority. Think about that for a moment. Kings were given to protect the people and guide the people. In fact, God wanted a theocracy, and what did the people go? We want a king like everybody else. And he says, when that happens, the king is going to abuse his authority. And you're going to regret the day that you asked for a king. Isn't that what God basically said in the Old Testament?
Yes.
And so we see this, that it's part of it. But God gives authority for the protection of those under. A good servant leader, a good leader serves those under him. Romans 13:4 speaks about the government. This is why I lean a whole lot more libertarian these days. What's the role of the government? To serve us, the people. We do not serve the government. The government serves us. And the roles have become reversed as we move farther and farther away from our founding documents. Because Romans 13:4 says, for the government is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, you need to be very afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. The role of the government is to keep peace, to have an orderly society, as Paul writes to Timothy later. Pray that you might have a peaceful place. These are good things, and that's the role. Notice that the leader is to protect those under it. And so we as citizens submit to that. It's not the submission of a dictatorial society, but the beauty of the American dream that was founded with the Declaration of Independence is free people who stand before their Creator and live their lives to honor their Creator, and we create a free society. And we've lost a lot of that, haven't we? But you find that this is the driving factor. And so, as you look at submission and you struggle with it, come back to the truths that God's Word teaches you. Now, one of the things you're going to find in Scripture, and this is important to realize, is that you will never find in Scripture a verse that says, husbands, make your wives submit. If you can find it, good luck. Maybe it's in Hesitation 6-7. Yeah. You know, it's not there. And if you're looking for Hesitations, you won't find it. It's only the wife is given the command to submit. What's the wife told, or the husband told to do? Guys, come on. Love how? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Not make her submit and obey and shut up and be a doormat. No, it's a completely opposite. You think I'm being hard today? Wait till next Sunday. When we come to husbands, love your wives. So wives, make sure your hubby's here next week. And he may want steel-toed boots. And so what we see is the idea, and what we need to grab a hold of in this idea of submission is, I'm to submit as a good soldier because this honors my God. Just as a country is powerful as a citizen submit to a good and just government, and that country thrives. We've seen that in history, haven't we? Mm-hmm. It's when the citizens begin to fail to submit that things begin to fall apart. But that's a subject for another day. And so, as we look at this, we need to realize that submission may be hard, but it's a valid and important biblical point. I think we also need to say is that to be in authority does not mean that you are better or more equal or whatever term you want. It's not the idea that's found in the Quran. What you find in there is, oh no, even though my wife might be superior in intellect and maturity, when you go to the Quran, you find, no, the man is far more valuable. And I can take you through surah after surah of those that put that. They do not see any equality at all. Biblically, what we see is a woman is equal to a man. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the worth and the value of the man and the woman is identical before God. And as we'll see in a moment, man and woman together form the image of God. Now, if you can fully understand that, you may be smarter than I am. But it's this idea that women and men are equal, and they have been given different roles. And that's the key that is brought forth in Scripture, is the establishment of these different roles. Doesn't relate to value, it relates to God's purposes and His plan. And so we need to never forget the marriage relationship of husbands and wives. What does Ephesians say that relationship is? It's a picture of Christ and the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and following. Listen to the text. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You see the correlation there? Bringing those two together. His body and as himself, its Savior. Oh, wow. He gave his body to do what? Redeem the church. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. And then verse 30, because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, creation ordinance claim. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then verse 32, one of my favorites. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now you know how I teach that passage a lot of times. Paul's playing a shell game. Husbands, wives, Christ, church. Which is it? Yeah. It's back and forth. Can you follow it? When you have a marriage, husband and wife, when it is properly executed, it is modeling to the world what? Christ Jesus in the church. You ever thought about your marriage that way? That you living out your marriage in an honorable way before the Lord preaches Christ to the nations. You never think about your family and your marriage that way, but that's what Paul is driving at again and again. And when he says here, why submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord, he's going, gospel issue here. This is worldview issue. Preach this by your very lives. It's not that you're inferior or substandard. No. You're modeling a godly truth to a world that's going, I don't get it. And that's why they don't get it. And so never, ever forget that the marriage relationship of a husband and a wife is a picture of Christ and the church to the world. Now, to help you do that and understand, top corner, big circle with three parts in it. I don't know how to represent the Trinity. This is one of the ways that I don't think is blasphemous. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. What's the confession say? Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 6. How does it put it? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one God. the same in substance and equal in power and glory. Okay, so we learned something there. But do the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all have the same roles? No, we're going to see that in a moment, that their roles are different. But get a hold of this equality part. They are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. But we know they took on different roles. And then down bottom, it says, is an illustration to help you. How was man and woman created? Genesis, they were created in the image of God. He created them. Male and female, he created them. Get a little confusing? What did he create? It says, in the image of God, male and female, he created them. So the image of God is found in, apparently, male and femaleness together. What an interesting thing. Now, you can fully unpack that, and we can do that in other times, Sunday school and whatnot. But I think that the thing that we need to take away is, if we're going to properly model the image of God to a world, when Paul and others are speaking about wives submit to husbands, husbands love your wives, it has to do with the roles of God. In this far right illustration here, I probably should have printed it on your bulletin. Up top, we have God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? And then, underneath God, all men submit to God, don't we? At least we do when we come to salvation. We acknowledge that we're a sinner and in desperate need, and this is the Creator God, and He's holy, and I'm not, and I seek to honor Him. And how do I glorify God? As I submit to God, and I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and only Christ provides my salvation, I have glorified Him how? By my submission. And so men and women submit to God as mankind. But we also find in Scripture this idea that just as in the Godhead, God the Father orchestrated the great plan of salvation. But who executes it? Jesus Christ in the flesh. Fully God, fully man. Completely. And He did what? He submitted Himself to the Father, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He humbled Himself and made Himself nothing. Isn't that what Philippians tells us? It's this idea of, now that's submission. It's this idea that, what's he pray in the garden? Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. This is hard. This is difficult, Father. But the Godhead together is working in this mutual act of, or this act of submission. Christ submits to his Father to carry out and redeem what? You. Me, the church of Jesus Christ, that we might be presented back to Him in full splendor because of His work. Wow. And so that's the picture of submission that we have to grab a hold of. And so, wives, have you ever thought about your submission as one of the highest callings possible? To be able to bring glory to God Almighty as you submit to God. You submit to your husband, not because your husband's worthy of it. I got news for you. My wife doesn't submit to me because I'm worthy. Just ask her. No. My wife is very good. But she should not submit to me because I'm not that special. I'm a fallen, broken sinner. But she honors God as even in my sinfulness, she goes, okay. And in fact, you know the worst part that I hate about having a godly wife? Is when I'm a jerk. Yeah, I do that. And she quietly, like that Peter passage, just says, well, I kind of think this is the way God lays it out. I think that's what His Word is telling. And I'll trust God to deal with you. Will you just fight me, woman? Because it'd be a whole lot easier. And she just quietly backs off and just prays. I don't like doing business with the Holy Spirit that way. But that's how a godly, submissive wife accomplishes it. And so, what happens for a wife, as you look at passages like 1 Peter chapter 3, if you're ever in a tough situation, women, 1 Peter 3 is a beautiful passage. And I know some of the women in this room, I've sat with you and we've worked through 1 Peter 3 together as you've been in a tough situation. How do I do this? My husband, I think, is really not doing well in this department. Yep, I agree with you. But how will you honor God? By submitting in a God-honoring way. That's the key. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they might be won over by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Don't let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and putting on all these other cool things. But let your adorning be, verse 4, the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. That's powerful. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, now this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you're her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And then if you go, but you don't understand what my husband's... Just drop all the way to 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. That's the key. Don't look at the earthly situation. Now, I am not suggesting you remain in an abusive situation. God has given the government. God has given the church. And we stand ready to help you and deal with that. Okay? And we will seek, by God's grace, we will bring the full power of the church. And when the church has run out of power, if you'll allow that term, that's how can it run out of power? But there is a government who stands there to protect you. But the key spiritually is finding ways to entrust your soul to the God in heaven, knowing that God is using these things. And that's sometimes hard, because I guarantee you, every one of you women are married to a sinner. That's the reality of this world. And one of Satan's favorite techniques is to create discontent. But you don't understand what my husband puts me... No, I probably do. But what does Satan want to do? A house divided against itself cannot stand. He creates dissension. And when you seek to say, you know what, Lord, I know my husband's walking, but I pray that you will give him no peace until the Holy Spirit guides him back. It's amazing when that power of prayer that comes into that way. So here's the things you need to realize as you look at the concept of wives, submit to your husbands. Submission is not a culturally derived concept. Submission is a creation ordinance. It's brought from that. Man and woman were created not in an egalitarian way, but I think the complementarian way is a better way to look at that. Men and women are equal. They are cherished by God. They are special, and they are created together in the image of God. But they have different roles. Just as we each have different roles in all of life. And those roles are not an expression of value, but they're simply an expression of a role to get the job done. Back to that word, hupotasso. How do you move furniture? Somebody says lift. Somebody has to be the leader. And that is God's plan. As a result of the fall, the authority was given to the husband, which he abdicated. Hello? Where was Adam when Eve sinned? And in fact, it was funny, we were doing a men's study this other week, and it's like, sin isn't even mentioned until both eat. But Adam was standing right next to her, and he said nothing. He abdicated his leadership role, I'm afraid. That's how I read that text. We can argue. And so, many times in Scripture, we find that as a result of that, this carries forward, and these roles have now... Part of God's plan to bring that about has nothing to do with value or worth. But it is God's demonstration of Christ and the church to a dark and dying world. And so when you look at Scripture, you're going to find, wives, you're not really commanded to love your wives except in one passage. That's it. Titus. All the rest of the passages, respect, submit, honor, however you want to put those. Husbands, almost every time, are told to love their wives. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives. That's biblical love, not the garbage that's in the world. And so that's the model. You see, when we see these things and put into perspective, it changes the way it works. And unfortunately, in this world, what happens, especially today, is we find that couples go, oh, we're in love with one another, and we can do everything through love. You know, you've talked to those young couples. And then the reality of two sinners who got married sets in. Ugh, she doesn't quite keep house the way I thought. She nags me when I don't do what I want. He leaves the toilet seat up. And you know, all the sinner things that happen back and forth. And then, men being men and women being women, men typically pour themselves into something else where they do get the strokes, their job. Video games. I've watched that. And so, they withdraw. That's the typical method. And what do women do? Whew! I'll nag even more. I'll get on their case even more and remind them how they ought to be a godly husband and carry through. Now, here's the deal. Men typically have a fight or flight response. The guys who are nice, they don't like to beat their women, they have a flight response, and so they run to something else. Job, video games, sports. And so, what happens to the marriage? No longer a one flesh, it becomes two benevolent roommates. And we've seen this. Or if it's a fight response, now suddenly abuse enters in, verbal, physical, etc. And so that's what happens when two sinners come together. And we need to realize that, women, don't mishear me, but God has called you in this area not to be in the nagging role, but to be in the I'm going to honor God role. And how do I best do that? And I think Peter says it best, 1 Peter 3. Likewise, husband, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word. How many of y'all have a husband who doesn't obey the word sometimes? That should be every woman. Yeah, because you're married to sinners. And how do you deal with that? That they might be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. Why don't you put Jesus to the test? Put the Word of God to the test in your home and see what happens. You see, that's the model that we're given. And it's back to this principle. What Paul is helping us understand, if you want to win the battle against sin and you want to live victoriously, where do you get that?
From God.
Yes, and more importantly, being in Christ. I can do this because Christ has redeemed me and He has called me. And so I can do this for His glory, for His honor.